इसकी सिवा याद कुछ भी ना। Om Shanti. Good morning. So Sunday the 8th. October, and this is probably the last Sunday Dadi is with us. She goes to Madhuban on the 10th.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Good morning. Kaka, good morning. Kaka ka niyam hai uth ke good morning karna.
This particular brother in class, who we know as Kaka, has the custom of getting up and saying good morning to Daddy every morning. And according to drama, everyone has their memorial. Each of Baba's children creates their own memorial at this confluence age. Others will create your monuments and your memorials afterwards, but we do it from now, according to our actions, according to the kind of relationships we keep. There's a connection between karma and relationships. To the extent there is divinity and spirituality within our actions, within our relationships, those are the types of memorials that are created at this confluence age. Baba, well, what praise can we say of Baba? How much can we praise Baba? Baba says, we children are now true Brahmins, firm Brahmins, honest, true Brahmins, and very firm in our practice as Brahmins. So what is a true Brahmin? One who would keep the father happy with an honest heart. And then we know that once Baba is happy with us, what can death do? What can Dharmraj do? Neither can do anything to us. A Brahmin would say, I want to be totally honest under all circumstances, completely honest. I'm just going to try and close the door.
बाबा ये बच्ची हाफ कास्ट है तो ये टाइटल कौन सा
If one doesn't have that complete honesty, Baba would say this one is a half caste Brahmin, an incomplete Brahmin.
उसके इतने खाने की परहेज नहीं होगी.
They will not have so much caution on their diet, on their food. They will not be accurate for Amrit Vela in the morning. And they will definitely give excuses for attending Murli class, for not attending Murli class in the morning. But a true Brahmin would never miss Murli. You would know there was one sister in Ahmedabad, one of the original souls in Ahmedabad, whose name was Kashi Ba, and another brother whose name was Mani Kaka. Very wonderful Paka, Baba's child. And this old lady, Kashi Ba, had so much love for the Murli. And when Dadi had gone from the foreign lands back to India, and she was sick and in hospital. Kashipa was so sick and in hospital, she wasn't able to pick up the murli in her own hands. And so her daughter-in-law would give her the murli in her hand, and she would, Ba would read the murli and then turn the pages herself, and she would not eat until she had read the murli. And not that the daughter-in-law would be asked to read the murli to her, she would say, no, no, I want to read it myself. And so when Dadi left here to go to India, she first went to Ahmedabad and straight to the hospital to see her. So when someone is so true, then that has an impact on the rest of the family. So her children and grandchildren are still in gyan. So when one's parents are so paka in gyan, then their generations to follow will speak about them and say, my mother was like this, my father was like this. These days, why don't children be obedient to their parents? Because you think, what are the parents' activities and character like? What have the children learned from their parents? So Baba says, okay, leave those worldly things aside. Those are worldly things. That is the old world. That world doesn't belong to us. But Baba gives the children such drishti that drishti penetrates the soul. The soul is shot by the arrow of the drishti, and the soul becomes bodiless. When someone leaves the body, then yes, there is a certain amount of discomfort in that. But in this drishti that makes you bodiless, it's not that there's discomfort, but it just feels very unusual. And at first, when Baba used to give us drishti, people were a little bit nervous about that, because they were thinking they're going to have the experience of leaving the body. But there's a happiness that actually we are becoming detached, separate from the awareness of the body. And so when the soul has this experience of the Supreme Soul, this arrow penetrating the soul and becoming bodiless, then there's a feeling, I'm becoming like Baba, bodiless. Only one Brahma Baba has that angelic state, but only Shiv Baba, the Supreme Soul, is incorporeal throughout the whole cycle, the only one who is incorporeal. And for the fathers of religion, we say that they are the physical fathers of religion. And everybody's eyes would have opened having taken knowledge, or is it that your eyes have only half opened? If your eyes have opened, then it means that your intellect is also transformed. There's a very deep connection between the eyes and the intellect. The soul has mind, intellect and sanskars, and Baba has taught us this. Nobody else has taught us this. Nobody else has made us understand that. Did you know before that the soul... Okay, perhaps you only knew that much, that the soul and body are separate. When the soul leaves one body, it enters another one. Some used to say the soul is the Supreme Soul. The soul is... what's the word? Immune to action, immune to everything. So human beings say so many different things about the soul and Supreme Soul. And I used to think, what is all this? Okay, we say that the soul is immune, and whether a person performs sinful actions or good actions, they are immune to both. But the soul comes into action with the body, can't do so without the body. It's the soul that experiences sorrow. It's the soul that experiences happiness. And both these are when the soul is in the body. So It would not, that experience would not be there if the soul were not in the body. So, Baba explains these deep matters to us, that the soul performs actions when the soul is in the body. The body can't do anything without the soul. The soul similarly can't do anything without the body. So there's such a deep connection between soul and body, body and soul. And so there's such a deep karmic account in this. And so this is what Baba has taught us. And it sits in our intellect now. He's given us drishti and pulled our attention to himself. Today's murli is so deep. It's with Baba's drishti that he drew our attention to himself, who is this one that has come from the foreign lands. As the song goes, so when one's attention goes towards the one who has given a divine, has given divine vision, then there's the feeling that this one is mine. Though we are in this body, the feeling is that I am as good as dead. The people of the world also experience that from us, our sense of detachment from this world. Internally, we understand that I am detached from this body, therefore, I am detached from relationships of the body. And the wonder is that I also become so detached from all the worldly relationships, all the worldly things I used to do, all my food and drink habits change, and all my old nature and sanskars change. The bitterness of the past is gone, so we have to look within. Have I changed completely from my old sanskar and nature? And yesterday, Dadi was inspiring us to throw away all the old things. In Baba's room, we can leave it there. And many realizations would have come through that. Each one should check themselves. The drishti that Baba has given, consider yourself a soul, and the things that you receive from Baba makes everything easy in our actions and interactions. Yoga becomes easy, our actions become easy, easiness in our relationships, and there's no problem. And the intellect becomes so good. We receive such very lovely drishti. Whose drishti is it that we receive? The one up above. The one who no one knows, but my heart has recognized. So wonderful. It's through our drishti that we have recognized him. This is the one who has come from the faraway land, the foreign land. He's come to this land, which is the land that doesn't belong to him. This is Ravan's land. Why has he come? To take us with him. He's come to take us away to the world of peace and comfort. And so with Baba's drishti, we experience that land of peace, the place that is his abode. He is the ocean of peace, and he signals to the soul that you're also from that same residence of peace. And he signals with his drishti that you are my child, and you are from that land. And here you've become separated from me, and you've been in the claws of Ravan. You've been in his fist, and now I've come to free you from that. We used to have a picture. Well, Ravan's picture that's been created is very fearsome, but his nails were very, very long. Nowadays there's a fashion of having long nails, but who would have long nails? Those who belong to the family of Ravan. long, long nails. They look horrible. They're the kind that would want to draw people's blood. So Baba frees us from the grip of Ravan. So our life has changed so much, Baba. See where the world is and look at where we are. Difference of day and night. They are still stumbling in the night, in the darkness. There's so much dirt in the world. See what's happening in the world. And when I come into Baba's house, and I say, for those who sleep in Baba's house, see what your Amrit Vela is like in the morning. You look outside in the world at night, what there is. It's just such a dangerous world. According to the olden days, that is, in my time, those from good homes would never come home late at night. If somebody came home late at night, it would be said to them that this is a very dangerous thing to do. If a girl came home late at night, it would be cautioned that this is very dangerous. Times are very bad. Save yourself and save others from anything evil. When someone is saved, they will help save others. How would you save yourself? The intellect would become so powerful that you are able to save yourself. A true Baba's child will have an intellect that's very powerful. That is, their yoga will be very good. They will speak very little, but you'll see from their actions how wonderful that soul is. And the connection of karma is with their intellect. So Baba has transformed our intellects. If somebody has an intellect that is like a warrior, that is, battling inside, just see what they're like as an observer, just see. But someone with an impure intellect can't even come here, can't put their foot here. Not that there's the sign outside, no smoking, and so people who smoke can't come inside here. No, not like that. But automatically they will not feel like coming in here. They wouldn't be able to come in. Even if someone was a drunkard or someone who used to smoke 6 months ago, even then their conscience would not allow them to come in here because the intellect is so impure. And then there are the variety who worry constantly and take Baba into your thoughts and all other worries would end. Don't worry about yourself or others. So your way of thinking changes when you come to Baba's house. The things that are in your mind will change as you listen to Baba's knowledge. Your way of thinking changes. It's as if the soul is hungry for good food and they receive that good food of thoughts here in Baba's house. They receive food that gives them strength. And previously they hadn't received this food that gave strength. And so as you listen to this knowledge, you keep it in your mind. And some people's minds still long for peace, and they're hungry for peace, and they're begging for peace. But once we receive this good food of thoughts, then we have our trust and faith is instilled, and our way of thinking changes. So yesterday, Daddy heard in the afternoon that the intensive is going on, the monthly intensive, and Daddy felt that they should be they should be invited upstairs to Diamond House meeting room so that Daddy can meet them. So 3:30 in the afternoon, 4 o'clock the intensive finishes, 3:30 in the afternoon, they all came upstairs and Daddy met them. And it was a lovely meeting. And she said to them, don't have any burden on your intellect and don't let anybody else experience any burden from you. You have responsibility, certainly, but the responsibility is just to transform yourself, to be your own friend. Okay, the rest of the world will listen to the things from Baba afterwards, much later, but you accept it now, because there's just that one desire that my life should transform. There's no other desire. My life should transform. And as my life starts to change, then one's faith is instilled. It's my aim and Baba's help, and as transformation happens, that faith grows in Baba. So as I start to change, it's just that I had the thought I want to change, then Baba really, really helps a lot, just through my thought of wanting to change. And I feel that, Baba, you're telling what wonderful things, and so the soul is very interested, and Baba helps the soul. The soul feels very happy and powerful, and the head becomes light, and the heart feels like listening to more and more and more. So worry ends, but a thought should never come. What shall I do? How shall I do it? This is the thinking of a warrior type soul, because Baba's telling you very clearly, this is what you have to do, and this is the method. And that way you become a Brahmin. Do this, do it in this way. And as they do it, then there's the feeling that I'm not doing it, it's Baba who's helping me. So many have such variety of experiences. They don't share them. They hide their very good experiences. But if they have some old experiences, they'll hold on to those as well. And to this day, if there is some topsy-turvy experience, then that experience will cast like a shadow over them. They'll be suppressed by that experience. So don't hold on to those old experiences, that it has an impact or an effect on your life, that you then start experiencing sorrow of that old experience. So keep yourself completely detached.
Attachment or detached?
So aware of these two words, attachment and be detached. Understand what it is to be attached and understand how much happiness comes through having detachment. You see these five fingers, they are detached from one another. If two were stuck together in this way, you wouldn't be able to use the hand properly. If the two feet were tied together, then you wouldn't be able to walk. It's just the law of nature. There's the left foot, the left leg, and the right foot, the right leg. It has to be one after the other, left, then right, left, and then right. So you wouldn't be able to use the two together. Sometimes you see the game where two people are tied together at the ankles and they walk together. And yes, we have games like that, but the law of nature is that you have to put one foot in front of the other to be able to walk. It's nature. So these five fingers are not the same, but each finger has its own speciality. Each one has its own speciality. So see the specialities that you have. One is that gives a finger of cooperation, the other is the finger of victory, another is pointing to God, remember God. The thumb is that of having absolute faith and trust in oneself, and so Baba is teaching us the things that are natural. So we have become so unnatural and artificial, and we ask the question, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why all the time? And so you give yourself a headache through this type of questioning. So each one is doing their best, they're doing well. Just have patience for each one. Teach your mind patience. Each one is doing good. And in fact, these hands teach us. What it is you have to do. So your hand should always be like this with everyone. That is the hand that gives blessings. Also the hand that is ready to shake hands with the other. Some say, but I can't get on with this one. And Nadi says, look at what you're saying. Look at your words. Look at your face. Be ready to offer your hand to shake hands with the other. That is, be able to get on with others. And in Bharat, we have the custom of folding our hands in front of others. You do this and they will also respond in the same way. And it's understood this one is a Bharatvasi. That you remember God in that folding of hands is a prayer position, but also you greet one another. And Dadi is asked, what have you done since you've been here? And Dadi says, I haven't done anything. But look, the British would not have anyone from another land come and live here unless they had some significant thing to give to the land, this land. And so we're all human beings, all children of God, and it's truth and humility that have brought us this far. It's truth that's within and humility that comes into our words and interaction with one another. The future of Brahmins is to become angels. That he really liked thinking this, that the future of Brahmins is to become angels. And so what type of Brahmin would that be? So now I want to see everybody's faces, the faces of Brahmins whose future is to become an angel, just as our Baba has become an angel. And it's my features that show my future. Baba's face shows us our future. When you don't see Baba's face, then your eyes are closed. It's when you see Baba with open eyes, then you can see your own future. And Baba would say, child, this is your future. This is your future. Don't see anyone else, but see yourself. So Baba teaches us to see ourselves. Last night, Dadi was having chit-chat with somebody. And when people see Dadi's free, they come and sit with Dadi. And so 10:30, she was having chit-chat with someone. And or a group, I'm not sure. Never would we have said what I have said to Baba. Baba, it was their fault, their mistake, not mine. Or, it wasn't my doing, it was their doing. Never. Because service of the yajna should be accurate. If something's not quite right, then put it right. Be the one to put it right. If somebody's nature is a little bit as it shouldn't be, then not to see them with that vision, not to talk about their nature, but just realize that your own nature should not be like that. Some people have a big heart. Some people's heart is not so big. With a big heart, you think, okay, let there be that generosity, let everyone eat, drink, everything else. Some will say, no, put it aside, it can be used some other time. But someone doesn't have a big heart, you don't comment that they are like this. No, never. Never should we do this. Because they have a lot of other virtues. So never to hold in your mind anything negative about others. Because Baba tells us again and again and again, have the thought of claiming an elevated status. And Baba keeps attention on the very good children. And so we have the aim of passing with honor. I don't want to be the second number, third number, not to have ordinary thoughts or the nature of seeing the weakness of others. Because then there will be things that will hold us back, prevent us from progressing. Today there's one thing, tomorrow there'll be something else that will hold us back. And so these things will come in our midst and prevent us from being very good. But when one has the aim of having a future that is like the father's, for them it's nothing major. Good things will come in front of them. So there'll be some things where you'll feel that this is not worthy for me to do. It's not worthy for me to do this. And suddenly you have fever or something where then you're not forced to do that thing. Because sometimes you're in a situation where you don't want to do that thing, but it's like it's expected of you. And then suddenly you'll have fever or temperature and you be free from that. And so it will happen in a very natural way. So there are so many good examples that he has, that when it's something that is not worthy for you to do, Baba will save you. And that he sees how Baba saved her so many times from something like this. And when it's something that is right for you to do, you leap out of bed to run to do that thing. So if it's something that really you think is something that's worthy for you to do, then nothing can stop you. Nobody can prevent you. You'll just be absolutely ready to get on with it. And if it's something that you shouldn't do, then some way Baba will find a method to free you from doing that. So of course his love for such a Baba, such a Bholenath Baba, the innocent Lord. So it's guaranteed that nobody can hurt us. Nobody can even touch the hair on my head. No one can insult Baba's children. But we don't say anything to those who may insult us. If they're insulting you because there's stuff accumulated in their hearts, and where can they throw it? If they were to throw it somewhere else, then people would retaliate. But if they throw it at us, we don't retaliate. And so others may slap them, but we don't do that. And so by not saying anything, they become cool. And they feel that coolness within. And not that we should react in any way. If others... react with them, but we don't react with them. And so some say they did this thing, so they should be punished for it. But our Baba is so merciful and compassionate, and he says that the children also have to be like Baba, forgiving in that sense. And one time we said to Mama, Mama, this one has done something wrong and therefore they are going through the suffering of that. And Mama said, you should never speak like that. Never speak that it's because of their karma they are now suffering. No. All you have to be is be honestly loving and honestly cooperative with them. Don't go into the karmic involvements of others. And even if someone does not accept that these good wishes, even if they avoid them, they may not want those good wishes. Even if they're not ready to listen to the good words that are being said for them, but just constantly have those subtle good wishes that internally one day they will change. So the Father has given us divine intellect, divine vision, and when the intellect is divine and very good, then our vision will also be like that. And to see others the way Baba sees everyone, this is what my vision should be like. My actions should be like this. So then you will feel that I am a true Brahmin. What is a Brahmin? A Brahmin has four things that they do. So, other Brahmins are the priest-type Brahmins who feed other human beings in order to make them into Brahmins. But we offer bhog to Baba.
Brahman, wo andar sachcha hai, bahut sachcha. Ishwar se tabhi sagai karane wala.
The true Brahmin has a pure diet, and the one who engages you with God, enables your engagement to happen with God. A true Brahmin is one who will keep their name very clean, untainted. And a true Brahmin will die alive. And a true Brahmin will speak of the story of the true Narayan. How to become the true Narayan. The true story of how to become the true Narayan. And that is, you belong to Baba before, you are the same ones from a kalpa ago, a cycle ago. And a true Brahmin will enable you to prepare to return home. A Brahmin is surrendered and enables others to surrender. They will inspire others to surrender. They will inspire them to use everything of theirs in a worthwhile way. So their thoughts, words and actions are elevated. And seeing them, others' thoughts, words and actions will also become elevated. And then you see what is God enabling you to do through Brahmin souls. At every step there is income for you, income of multi-millions. Wherever your foot is, there will be income for you. So Brahmins, you see where their feet are, you see what their hands are doing, you see what their forehead is doing, sparkling. And so these days when they invite a Brahmin to their home, they wash their feet and then invite them in. That is, there's the worship of Brahmins to that extent. So see where your feet are. We are the ones who put every step in the Father's footsteps. Follow Father. Every step of yours in the Father's footsteps. Not that you step here or there, but absolutely on the Father's footsteps. And there's a great deal of happiness in this. There's always contentment. You wouldn't ask a deity, "Are you happy?" But you would say to a deity, you would say that a deity is an embodiment of contentment, but a Brahmin is one who remains content and gives contentment to others. So we have to be such qualified Brahmins, not incomplete Brahmins. Then you will say that this one is a real Brahmin, one who likes to be introverted, stays in introversion, and they never go into extroversion. And their face reveals whether they are introverted or in extroversion. You wouldn't say for deities that they're introverted, but Brahmins are introverted. And the second qualification of a Brahmin is that they go into solitude. That is, they go into the depths of one. And through this they've understood who God is, what God is like. When one is introverted and has that love for solitude, is then loved by everyone. So when we keep all of these things in our attention, then we are the most beloved Baba's children, Baba's Brahmin children. Just as our memorials are, so our form presently should become. And somebody was saying to Daddy, that Daddy, when I have some difficult situation to face, then I remember you. Your face comes in front of me. It's Baba's home that I remember. Many are like this. So, when people remember our lives, they should draw happiness from that. Okay, those images will not give as much happiness as we Brahmins now can give to people. We, as Baba creates our lives, creates those images. This is what people should feel from us. People ask the question, what happens after the jam event? And Daddy said, now this is the work we have to do, that we give happiness to others. And so people ask, okay, that program is over, but what is your thought now? What should happen next? So Daddy says, what is there to ask? Because now the sound should spread to say, jam means sweetness. Not sweetness that's just filled with sugar and ghee, but sweetness in which there's strength, and that sweetness is spread through us, then there can be peace. Not that you simply say, be quiet, people have so much sorrow in themselves and you're telling them to be quiet. No, you have to give them love, make them smile, then they can be peaceful. So then the question of what is next, this is what we have to do. Be sweet, be loving, make people smile, let your form be very sweet. Then people will be able to take strength from you. Maureen Ben, that is asking Maureen to say something. So first, sister who's wonderful, wonderful sister, and I think Nani's meaning our guest sister Deborah. Possibly, I'm not sure. Daddy would like, sister, I think it's Deborah from the US, to share her experience with the class, because Daddy feels that she's had a very good experience here. And then after that we will offer Bhog.
Okay, Daddy is specially calling Deborah to come. Okay, come. So Sister Deborah will come, but she'll share in a moment. But first, Daddy has been with us over this last few months, and on Tuesday, Daddy flies to Madhuban, and together with Sister Hansa. What's Mama being signaled? I don't understand. I'm so sorry. Daddy's got the wrong earpiece. Okay, so she needs the other side of it, or a totally different thing? So I don't know why Daddy was in rest is best. She talked about fever, but Daddy certainly is out and running to Madhuban on Tuesday. And I've just been very touched how over these last couple of weeks, when Daddy's been in the house and has had to be here to look after the body, how she really has played the role of a mother very, very, very sort of obviously. She always is the mother, calling different groups, meeting people, making herself very, very available over this time. And there's a special song to the mother that we'd like you all to hear, and we'd especially like Daddy to hear. And Daddy was asking what is next after Jam. So, yeah, there'll be lots of plans and lots of things to do. But I think everybody was touched by the song that Robin Gibb sang for Daddy, composed specially and sang for Daddy at the Wembley Arena just 3 weeks ago. It seems a long time, it's only 3 weeks ago. And wanted to give you the very good news that that song is going to be released as part of a Bee Gees album and as a single before Christmas. And And Dwina, Robin's wife, who's Baba's child, is really determined that that song becomes number one in the charts. And I actually think this is very possible. We're going to play the song just now. And when you hear it, it touches something that is a very deep and instinctive need, I think, in every human soul, the need for the love of the mother. And that's what Daddy Robin has experienced from Daddy, which is why he really composed that song from his heart. And so he's been working with Andy on the music to make the proper recording. And so, Daddy, we'd like to play it to you and for the whole family now, and there'll be a little translation of the words. Okay, Daddy? Yes? Daddy's detached. Daddy's sunday. Okay, all right. Okay, so let's hear this. I'm getting more waves. Okay, here it is.
Mother, take my hand, lead me to where I understand. Mother, take me home, help me find the strength to carry on. Everything in life we have is changing. You are all I need to keep me still.
Mother of love, angel of light, I'm a long lost child, so lovely in the night. Mother of love, angel of light, you have saved.
Mother, keep me warm, always be my lighthouse in the storm. Mother, set me free, give me wings to fly eternally. Across the world, the tide of war is rising, the suffering of children fills our eyes.
Isn't it amazing? Daddy, do you like it? Pasande? I think this is going to be amazing service. Okay. So now I'd like to ask our sister Deborah to share. And Deborah's been through a particularly interesting journey.
हम क्यों कह रहे हैं इस यन बसा ये बता रहा है
okay been through a particularly interesting journey and it's something that daddy wanted all of you to hear some of you have heard or experienced I know but not many of you and so really how baba becomes our total strength and support in times of need Deborah's really an example of that. a very loving soul, and she will share with us. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Please put on your third eye, your divine intellect, so you can hear this with detachment. And Dottie's talk today kind of prepared us, prepared the situation, the scene. Yesterday I was in the class, the intensive class, and they had a review of the eight powers that we receive from Baba. And when we have those eight powers, we have, if we don't have them and we're not accurate and we're not using them, we will have cloudy thinking. Well, and if we do have them, we have absolutely clear thinking. And we will know exactly what to do. We will be the director of the scene and have no fear. In this story, I had absolutely no fear, and I directed the entire scene. I've been a BK since 1988. I flew from Alaska, the far, far northwest of the United States, northwest of Canada even, and went to Kenya and took spiritual birth there when Dadi G was there for the groundbreaking of the Global Museum. And I lived at the center there and in Kenya and in Zimbabwe and visited in Tanzania and Zambia. So that was 1988. October 11th, 2004. So next Wednesday will be 2 years. It's like a 2-year-old baby. Life is all brand new now. That particular morning, I had made Toli. I was an RN, a registered nurse, getting ready to go to work a Monday morning. And I made Toli. I had a rescue meeting that night, a training. And in the morning at the clinic I worked at, I had another training. So I made a big sheet of Toli all ready for service. And anyway, so I'm very happy that morning. Went out to the car to get in and open the door. It's 7:38 in the morning, October 11th in Alaska. It means it's still dark for 2 or 3 more hours. Open the Jeep to get in, and someone jumped from the side of the Jeep, from behind the Jeep, and I don't know really what happened. It was that fast. All I know is that I had a glimpse of them. Okay, third eye. I had a glimpse of them, and in a moment I was lying on the ground, and I just knew that someone had really violently beat my head. And I'm lying on the ground, and I felt the eye, and I knew it was sticky and bleeding, and it was dead silent, except this voice had a microphone, and I was calling for help. Help, call 911, call the ambulance immediately, I'm badly hurt. And I yelled very loud, loud enough that I woke up my neighbors who lived two buildings over. They heard, they recognized this voice and called 911. I thought I was bleeding. I thought this arm had been cut off. I wasn't sure. It didn't get cut off, but I saw it over there. I couldn't get up. I could not physically help the body up. So anyway, so I saw the arm laying there. I couldn't help myself. The only way I could help myself was the voice. So I saw the arm, and I asked someone when they finally came. I said, I think I'm bleeding out. Will you please apply pressure to the arm to stop the bleeding? And I told them, I don't have hepatitis or AIDS. And they did that. When the ambulance came, I said, please call my mother. And I gave the phone number. I said, please call work. and I gave the phone number. I was never afraid before anyone came at all. There was the assailant's leg was by my head, and I'm still yelling, "Help, call 911." And I saw him pick up my bag and drop it and run. Well, that all happened, and then the rescuers came and took this body to the hospital. And I will say that it came that close to dying. Not that close, but that close to for the soul to leave the body. And I would say that it's not a painful thing, and it's not a scary thing. No matter what, the body would is just lying there, and the soul would just leave. It doesn't hurt at all. It just goes. Sometimes if we're attached, we want to hang on. But anyway, so they took me to the hospital, and when I woke up after surgery, I couldn't open the eyes for a long time. This eye was halfway sealed shut, and I had double vision and lights. I could hardly see. It was so bright, and noises. It's like it had to be whisper tone. The lung had collapsed, pneumothorax, and the reason I couldn't get up, they had gotten the spinal cord. So I had a spinal cord injury. This side is paralyzed, and I couldn't hold my head up. I could only lay flat, and I couldn't move this arm. I had to pick it up, this leg, absolutely paralyzed. This side, no feeling. Still, I can't feel hot or cold or pain. So when I woke up in recovery room, my Lokik brothers told me, the doctors told them I had been stabbed. They said 3 or 4 times, and they came back. They said, Deborah, the doctors say you've been stabbed 5 or 6 times, 7 or 8, 10 times, a stabbing victim. So, but then life goes on. And I remember all these souls coming from all different religions and faiths and Native American medicine people, and they're praying over me, and there hundreds of people came. They're praying for me. They said the heavens have been stormed with prayers for Deborah, and they said it was a miracle that I lived. And the media covered the story, and they prayed for me, and usually I can feel a spirit, or I can feel a vibration from those. They brought spiritual music, and they sang, and they prayed, and they read spiritual stories to me, but I couldn't feel the vibrations, and I felt, this was the one time that I felt sad. Because I said, Baba, I can't feel you. But I suppose it was because I was paralyzed. And then the pain, chronic pain, 8 or 9 out of 10, I couldn't feel that those subtle vibrations. But I knew Baba was there. I could see Baba there. And in front of my eyes was Madhuban. I think it's called Om Shanti Bhavan, where Baba is up there, Shiv Baba. I saw that in my eyes, and I felt Baba with me. Well, I didn't feel it, but I knew Baba was with me. When they brought food in, and they would open the tray, the smell is like, oof. And I suppose it was onions and garlics, and I don't really know, but the smell. They knew I was a vegetarian, so they honored that, but the smell would make me nauseous, so they had to make the plainest food possible. It's the only thing that, even to open the tray. And the people, they fed me, and and cared for this body, and then as soon as I could, a Lokik sister who came from California, she came up, and I asked her to please go on the internet in my email and to email. So then it went to Dadi, it went to Madhuban, and two years ago this season. And then that's when I started getting influx of Brahmin letters and cards and emails, and that's when I could really start to feel the vibrations of Baba. Very hard, but those letters from Brahmin family were so powerful. When with my counselor, I had to revisit the scene because I was severely phobic. As soon as it would get nighttime, flashbacks. He was coming again, and the pant leg was right there by my head, and flashbacks. As soon as it was night, if I dared to go to sleep, I would wake up because there were all these knives and swords in my eyes. So with a counselor who helped me, she did EMDR, eye movement desensitizing, reprocessing. We had to visit the scene over and over. And revisiting the scene, she said always, I could bring someone with me. So, and my counselor knew it as Baba's eyes. Baba's eyes, I would see Baba's eyes, and Dadi Kulzar would stand there. You know how Bab Dada is standing there before us on the stage? So Bab Dada is in Dadi Kulzar, and Baba's eyes came with me. And I went to the scene over and over and over until now, and then I can function in the world. I'm not, because I was so phobic for a while, but now I can live in the world just fine. I can go, as a matter of fact, I drove all the way from Alaska, all the way 8,343 miles solo to Florida, so I can continue with different kinds of therapies down in the south. Baba took very good care of me. In Alaska, no income, no insurance, and the therapist and counseling and doctors and MRIs and all kinds of services, absolutely no charge. Months and months and months, no charge. In my life before, I was a dancer, a ballroom dancer, and I've studied all sorts of dancing. I was a marathon runner. I was a mountain climber. I cycled to work. You get the idea, very active. So now I'm lying in bed, and I can't walk. I just started taking one or two steps. And so, believe me, depression and despair were hanging right there the whole time, waiting to grab me. But I refused to go that path. Like, I don't want that. I don't. So I had to come up with some way to bypass that. And someone brought me a book and a pen. And someone sent me a letter from another faith, a Christian faith, and said, have gratitude in all your afflictions, in everything that happens. It's a blessing. Everything is a blessing. It's for our growth. So I started to write thank you notes to Baba every day at the end of the day, or whenever I would think of it. I would say, oh Father, or oh Baba, I'm so thankful for these souls that came to visit me today. I'm so thankful when I got out of the hospital that my sister, I lived with a Lokik brother and his family for months. I'm so thankful that my sister-in-law put me in the bathtub so I could have a shower and get clean. I'm so thankful for the children that came in bed and had Auntie Deborah read them stories.
Okay.
And one more thing. The reason I'm telling you this is because at the very end, 5 months, oh, Baba, I'm so thankful for what happened to me. I'm so thankful for a new life, for another opportunity to make sure all the dust and cobwebs are out of my life so I can go where I want to go. And once I became thankful for it, then everything's been much easier. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Actually, I'm sitting here to take leave from all of you because I'll be traveling with Daddy to Mother One on Tuesday. I'm not sure who's taking who, whether I'm taking her or she's taking me. But I've been requested by Daddy Janki and Daddy Gosar strongly that I should go with them, and I have to take full care of Daddy in Mother One. And so I'm just seeing that, yes, there are always little changes in our lives, but a point in time will come when major changes will happen. And so how far am I prepared for that? And I'm just going with an open mind because I just have to accept all the scene that's going to be coming in front of me. And the other day, Baba said in the Murali that whatever happens is drama. Whatever is to happen is also drama. And so I have to be very, very stable on this one point, which is drama. And I think we're coming back in January. So till then, Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Thank you to Sister Deborah for sharing such a beautiful story. And it made me realize that how amazing each of our roles are and how much of an example each of us are to the whole world and also to ourselves, and that we have such a bigger and better part to play and to work towards. And our fortune for having amazing samples in front of us. Of course, Daddy, who is enjoying her role so much, excelling in what she does, and make me realizing that we also have to see sometimes those glimpses of our brilliance, but also to work towards keeping that in front of us so that we can be that sample, an example for Baba, so that Baba's love and Baba's power reaches the world. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. I think taking on from that, there is always the awareness of the fortune that not only Baba has given me, but that I have been able to create. And I realize this more and more, that I am becoming so free from so many bondages. Subtle attachments still need a little bit of work on. But every time I am aware that Baba has freed me from so many burdens, so many barriers, and so many bondages. Thank you, Om Shanti.